Well, I wonder if at times you get a bit down, a bit disillusioned, perhaps a bit discouraged. Now, why is that? Well, it may be many reasons. It may be that you're struggling with the same old temptations, or that other Christians have promised you something and let you down, or that you're feeling pressure from friends who are not Christians about your discipleship. You've seen God at work in your life. You know that there's heaven ahead, but now's not quite so good. It's tough. Do you get days like that? As we finish these studies in 2 Timothy, I think that's where Paul is at. You know, Paul's spoken about his past, hasn't he? I've run the race. He's spoken about the future. There is ahead of me the crown of righteousness. But now, life is not very good at all. And he encourages, verse 9, he encourages Timothy to come to him. Do your best to come to me quickly. And the reason he did that was because, first of all, Paul was finding life tough. Now, that shouldn't be a surprise. Paul was in prison. Prison was not meant to be an easy ride. But in these verses, and I think we see 3 things that Paul was finding discouraged him, made him feel down and disillusioned. And the first was that he was isolated. Verse 9 again. Do your best to come to me quickly, for Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia. Titus to Dalmatia. People were leaving him. Now, he could deal with that. He could deal with Crescens going to Galatia. He could deal with Titus going to Dalmatia, because they were going out on ministry, on mission. But Demas, well, that was something different. Look at it again, verse 10. For Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me. Because he loved this world. Isn't that sad? The things of this world had clouded Demas's vision, and he'd lost his vision for gospel ministry, and he deserted Paul. Paul speaks of the world to come. Demas had focused upon this present world. The old hymn reminds us, the world is ever near. I see the sights that dazzle, the tempting sounds I hear. That's what's happened to Demas. And it hurt Paul. When good friends drift away from church, when good friends drift away from faith, it can be hard. But when it's been those who we've ministered with, those we've worked with in the gospel cause, then it is very hard. And Paul was taking this personally. He's left me. He actually left the gospel ministry, but he's left Paul. He's taking it personally. He felt isolated. And there was more, because if you look down at verse 16, at my first defence, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. Paul stood up in court at what was probably his preliminary hearing, and he could find no one to testify on his behalf. He stood in the dock alone. No wonder he encouraged Timothy to come and join him and bring Mark, who he relied on as well. Paul felt isolated. Yes, verse 11, there was loyal Luke who was there. And verse 21, do your best to get here before winter. Eubulus greets you, and so do Prudence, Linus, Claudia and the others. There were the church members there in Rome as well. But what Paul was missing was those who worked closely with him. Verse 12, he sent Tychicus to Ephesus and others going out. It was the close fellowship that Paul was missing while he was there in that prison cell. Paul missed it because Paul knew he needed it. And this is a very important point here in what Paul is saying here, because Paul is saying that there are no one-man bands in Christian ministry. no one-man bands, that we need each other in that Christian ministry. In my last church, most Sunday mornings, I got to church about 8 o'clock to get the place ready for the first service at 9 o'clock. And I was often joined by Gordon, our curate. And we got together simply to put that chairs. That's just some of the 150 chairs, because the building was used for all sorts of things. And so often we had to put the chairs back together. We worked it together. But as we did it, We talked about ministry things, about who we'd seen and what we'd done during the week and what we were doing that day. But there were days when Gordon wasn't there and I felt isolated, just doing it on my own. We are not meant to minister on our own. When Jesus sent people out with the gospel, he sent them out how? Two by two. We do it together. Timothy was called to be with Paul because Paul needed him. So whatever our ministry is, whether it's preaching, cleaning, doing coffee, Sunday club, whatever it may be, we need others to work with us and to encourage us in that ministry. Paul was finding it tough because he was isolated. But it wasn't just isolated. Paul had opposition. Verse 14, look at it with me, if you would, verses 14 and 15. Alexander the metalworker did me a great deal of harm. The Lord will repay him for what he's done. You too should be on your guard against him, because he strongly opposed our message. Now, we don't know who Alexander was. We don't know what on earth it was that he'd done to cause Paul great harm. It may be because those words, great harm, can be understood as informed. It may be that he was the one that informed against Paul and caused Paul to be arrested. And that would have happened in Troas. And that's perhaps why Paul warns Timothy, because if Timothy's coming, he'd have had to come through Troas to get to Rome. But what we do know is clear in the end of verse 15. He strongly opposed our message. He strongly opposed our message. And friends, that can be tough. When people oppose the gospel message, when people take us to task for teaching the scripture faithfully, it is dispiriting. It does get you down. It is discouraging. And Paul was finding this for himself, and Timothy as well. And that's why we need each other. That's why here in this area, we need the North Cotswold Partnership to encourage us and to encourage us together to continue working in gospel ministry. Paul was finding it tough. He was isolated. He was opposed. And thirdly, he was on trial. He'd been arrested and now he was on trial. Life was tough. Life was tough for Paul. And sometimes it gets tough for us in those similar ways. But Paul speaks of God's presence and God's power. Verse 17 through 18. Look at it with me if you would. But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. And I was delivered from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. It's an amazing testimony, isn't it? It's an amazing testimony. People had deserted Paul. The future looked bleak. But like Daniel in the lion's den, Paul knew God's presence with him. Earlier in the letter, Paul had said to Timothy, encouraged him to be strong in the Lord. And now Paul gives testimony to the strength that God gave him when he was literally under trial. Now, friends, we need to realize that Paul was an apostle, Timothy was a church leader, and that God deals differently with these guys than he does with the rest of us. Please don't agree with that. That's nonsense. That's nonsense. Paul deals with each of us in the very same way. And what God did for Paul, God can do for us, you and I. David in Psalm 23 writes, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why? "For you are with me." Daniel in the lion's den knew God's presence. Paul on trial knew God's presence. Christians down the ages, under difficulty and tough times, have testified to God standing with them. Whatever it is that's getting you down, whatever it is that's dispiriting you and causing you disillusionment, listen to God's word to you this morning. "The Lord stood at my side and gave me strength." The Lord stood at my side, your side, and gave me strength. The same Lord who stood by Paul will stand by you and give you strength for today. But that's not the sum total of Paul's testimony, because he goes on to say, "The Lord has delivered me." He'd come through that pre-trial, and he was the other side of it. And Paul had confidence, verse 18, "that the Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom." Paul was confident. He was confident for the future. He was confident for the future, in a sense, based on the past. This is what God had done in the past. He could trust God for the future. He wasn't expecting that he wouldn't die. That's not what he's saying. He knew he was going to die, but he knew that God would bring him through all the evil that faced him and bring him safely home to heaven. Paul's testimony was of strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. I'm sure I've heard that somewhere before. And that's encouraging, isn't it? That's encouraging when we feel down, when we feel disillusioned, when we feel discouraged. Because God, who was there with Paul, is there with us to bring us strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. But having said all this, I don't think we've still got to what Paul wanted to leave with Timothy. And we look finally at Paul's model of ministry. And to do that, we need to read the whole of verse 17. Let me read it again for us. "But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength." And here we are. "So that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it." Paul's on trial. And presumably at his trial, all kinds of accusations were being made against Paul. This is what Paul says. This is what Paul did. And what does Paul say in response? What does Paul plead? He doesn't plead, "I didn't do this," or I meant that," or whatever. No. Paul pleads very clearly the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we'll get to that if I pick up the other two pieces of paper. He pleases the cause of Jesus Christ. In court, given the opportunity to speak, Paul preached the gospel, and he preached it fully so that those who heard could be in no doubt about it. Throughout the letter, Paul's been saying to Timothy, "Timothy, hold firm to the truth. Timothy, chapter 4, verse 2, preach the truth in and out of season." Well, this was out of season, standing on trial. And I think what Paul was doing here is he was modelling for Timothy the ministry which he was encouraging Timothy to continue in. He was modelling that ministry that he was encouraging Timothy to continue in. When we looked at chapter 2 sometime earlier, we saw Paul calling Timothy to be strong in the Lord, to be true to the word, and to be persevering in the face of opposition. And that's what Paul was modelling here. He was being strong. "The Lord stood by me." He was being true to the word. "I preached the word fully." And he was persevering. And centuries later, friends, we see that model. And hopefully we can learn from it. So that, yes, we look for God's strength when we're down, disillusioned, and dispirited. And God gives us that strength. But he gives it to us so that we, in our day, might stand for Jesus, witness to his grace, despite the opposition. And so Paul, in a sense, is saying the same to us. Be strong, be true, be persevering. Let me sum up, not just this passage, but the whole of the book. Paul was in prison, and he was finding life tough. Some had deserted him, deserted the gospel ministry, and that had hurt him. Others stood opposed to him. And that was tough. He was on trial and he knew that he faced death. And that must have been scary. But faced with all these realities, Paul wrote to Timothy, his young but trusted colleague, encouraging Timothy, take up the baton. Continue with gospel ministry. Strong, true, persevering. But he knew Timothy. He knew Timothy was inexperienced, he knew Timothy was timid, and he knew Timothy was facing opposition. And so into that situation, Paul gives Timothy a fourfold charge regarding the gospel. I take this from John Stott, so I acknowledge my source here. The fourfold charge regarding the gospel was that he was to guard the gospel. First, chapter 1, verse 14. That is, he was to prevent it being changed, watered down in any way. He was to suffer for the gospel. Chapter 1, verse 8. Enduring that suffering like a good soldier of Jesus Christ. He was to continue in the gospel. Chapter 3, verse 14. The sound pattern of teaching that Paul had handed on to him was to shape his life and his ministry. Others may desert it. Timothy was encouraged to continue in it. And fourthly, he was to preach the gospel. Chapter 4, verse 2. Like an approved workman, he was to correctly handle the word of truth. Then he was to entrust it to reliable people who would be qualified to teach others. This is what this letter is about. At the end of his life, Paul is passing on the baton of ministry based on the word of God to Timothy and calling Timothy to be faithful in his generation. And I presume that Timothy was faithful in his generation because I have the word of God which has been passed on to me in my generation. We have the gospel. I've had the privilege over many years to preach and to teach the gospel. I hope God will give me some more years yet. But then I think, well, what about the next generation? And here's the challenge, I think, from this letter. It's a challenge to the younger members of our congregation. I put it to them earlier at the 9:30 service. It's a challenge to the younger members to be taking up the baton. Wanting to guard the gospel, ready to suffer for the gospel, and to continue in it and proclaim it. I ask, who's ready to do that? Who's ready to do that? And I'm not just talking here about ordination. I was speaking to a friend earlier in the week who's working in a theological college, and I said to him, I can't, in all honesty, at the moment, recommend people for ordination in the Church of England. And he says, yes, but you can recommend people for Bible training, can't you? He says, yes. And I recommend them to go to that college if I did. But it's not just about people being ordained. It's about people teaching God's word to our children, our young people, the next generation. It's about people teaching God's word to those who are growing and young in the faith. And I ask, who is willing to do that? In every generation, we need those who will guard the gospel and who will faithfully pass it on to others. And for those of us here or watching online who may feel, well, that's beyond me, I'm too old for that, we should be playing our part in encouraging our younger brothers and sisters in Christ to take this task on. And the way we do that is ourselves modelling it. Modelling it by being true to the word of God ourselves, being ready to suffer for the word of God, and being ready in every opportunity to proclaim the word of God as we're able. Paul was saying to Timothy, Timothy, here is the baton. Take it on and run with it. People gave that baton to me many years ago. I'm passing that baton on now to others. And we need to be doing that. And it is a daunting challenge, because we may say, who is prepared? Who is able to do all this? To guard the gospel, suffer for the gospel, continue in the gospel, preach the gospel. And I think Paul gives us the answer right at the end of the passage. Perhaps the last words that Paul wrote, verse 22, the Lord be with your spirit, grace be with you. Paul knew that the Lord had been with him all the way through his ministry and now at the end. And his prayer is that the Lord would be with Timothy and with us as we continue in this gospel ministry, as we proclaim it in and out of season. And may the peace, the grace of God be with you all as we seek to live and to share the gospel. And through this, at the end of verse 18, to him be the glory now, forever and ever. Amen. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, as we think back in our own experience, perhaps we can remember those who faithfully passed on the word of truth to us. And Father, we hear this challenge to make sure that the word of truth is passed on faithfully to the next generation. Help us, Father, to be those who are encouraging others to take up that gospel ministry in different ways, be it through ordination or be it through teaching our youngsters. But Heavenly Father, we pray that in our age we may be true to the word of God, faithful in passing it on to others, so that the message may be fully proclaimed and others may come to faith. And this we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.